Verse 24, Isaiah chapter 49 says, "Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered?" Isaiah 49:24. I heard a lot of flipping. I may have said the wrong thing. Isaiah 49:24. "Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." I read this last night and came on me pretty strong, and got to thinking about this thought. And God is fighting for your soul. God is fighting for your soul. Now, having just read over that once, you might not see that in that. But if you look at it closely, in verse 24, he said, "Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered?" Now, if you read in the commentaries, seems that most of them agree, a lot of them agree, that this maybe was referring here to some of the Babylonian exile and God going to deal with the enemies of his people. And if you've coming on, and I don't know for sure, but what I really want to get into more is the spiritual application to us today in regard to God fighting for us and to God fighting for our soul. Now, if you've coming on Sunday night, we've been talking about, and we've been in the book of Daniel, we've been talking about the Babylonian exile. And God did allow his people to be taken away captive because of their sins. And it was seemingly an enemy that was just so strong and so powerful. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians and had so much power. And evidently he, from what I've studied, was the most powerful man in the known world at that time. Just a strong enemy. I'm talking about a strong enemy. And God's people faced strong enemies even back then. They faced times where if somebody was to pick who would win, they never would have picked God's people a lot of the time. I mean, there was times where they would have, but there was a lot of times. When he said, I picked you out, he said, "I didn't pick you out because you was the greatest." He said, "But yet you were the least of all people." Some of y'all remember that verse? But he took the least of all people and made him into a great nation. He told Abraham that. He said, you're childless. Abraham, I'm childless and I don't have an heir. And this man here is going to be the heir of my house. He's not even my son. And the Lord said, "I want you to look up at the sky and see if you can count all the stars." Yeah. And look at the sand and see if you can count the sand, because he said, that's what your seed is going to be like. And so the Lord took just a very small people, a man that looked like his fertility and his wife's fertility was just dead and gone. And when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, God gave him a son, the child of promise, the heir, and God began that nation. But a lot of times the odds were against him. But yet the Lord said this, said, "Shall the prey be taken from the mighty?" If you think about a mighty beast taking its prey, and David, whenever he went out to fight Goliath, that was part of what he used to convince Saul that he could go and stand before Goliath. He said, "When I was keeping my father's sheep," he said, "there came a lion and took one of the sheep. And there came a bear and took one of the sheep. But said, I went and caught him by the beard and I smote him and slew him. And I got that little lamb back." Now you'd have thought the little lamb would have done been too far gone. The lion, it don't take them long to kill a little lamb. But the prey was taken from the mighty by David, who was a type of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Lord here is saying, I am going to take the prey away from the mighty. I'm going to deliver the lawful captive. And that's what happened in our life when we got saved. God, we had to have somebody fighting for our soul, because we were as a prey in the paw of a lion. And you'd have thought it was done too far gone. There wasn't any hope. But yet all of a sudden, here come a deliverer out of Zion that smote a mighty beast and delivered the prey and took us home on his shoulders, and all of heaven rejoiced over one sinner that repenteth. More than 99 just persons that didn't need any repentance. What's that saying? That's saying the day you got saved, heaven was happier over you than it was that, he said there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner. There's rejoicing when the prey is delivered. And David said, I smote that lion and I smote that bear and I got the lamb. And he said, the Lord's going to deliver me. He said he delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. And he's going to deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine, this giant. And they was facing a giant and a man that would come out. And whenever he would come out, he would just defy the armies of the living God. And he would just put it that way. And he would just say it right out in the open. And he'd say, I defy the armies of the living God. Give me a man that we might fight. If you got anybody up in that camp, give me somebody and let me fight with him. He said, I defy. He defied them and he defied our God. And they were all afraid. That's kind of the amazing thing. It made me wonder why didn't he just go down there and gang up on that man. But they didn't do that. They waited and they waited for a champion. They waited for somebody that could fight the giant. Somebody that could fight this big man that had been a man of war from his youth. And out of all the camp of Israel, there wasn't anybody found to go down there. Even their captain, even their king Saul, he was a big man, but he didn't go down there and fight Goliath. Which I understand, that probably wouldn't have been typical custom at that point, him being king. But there wasn't a man found. But then, in the backdrop, here comes a little boy bringing some cheese and some things for his brothers, some cheese for the captain, and coming up just to shout for the battle. He was just in the background for a long time. He wasn't even on the scene as far as they knew. But then he came on the scene and he heard what was going on. And he said, I'll go down there and I'll fight that giant and I'll kill him because God's going to deliver me. And that's how it was in this earth. There we were, humankind, and we were captive and we were lawfully captive. He said, shall the lawful captive be delivered? It wasn't something that wasn't right. We were lawful captives. There we were with an enemy that we couldn't do anything with. There we were captive. And we couldn't even argue about it because we had sinned and we had done wrong. It was a lawful thing. But then one day on the banks of the Jordan River, here come a man while John was baptizing. And John looked up and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Yeah. Here come one that was able to deliver the lawful captive. Yeah. And we didn't think he was even on the scene. It had been looked and searched. There nobody had been found for thousands of years. And as good as we could do, God had instructed for his people to kill bulls and goats. And the blood of bulls and goats would put off God's judgment and God's wrath for a year at a time. And then they'd have to come back next year and do the same thing. But the Bible said the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin.
That's right.
And it didn't. But one day Jesus came and he had blood in him that was so holy that it could take away sin.
Yeah.
It didn't just take away it for a year, but it would take it away for all time.
Amen.
The Bible said if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then have we fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
Now, you notice in that verse, there's an E-T-H on the end of that word. He didn't just say he cleansed us, but he cleanseth us. It cleanseth us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
What is it that keeps cleansing the sins we did after we got saved? By his blood? It just keeps on. There's a continual cleansing in the life of a Christian.
Right.
It said his blood cleanseth us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
And that's how it is today. There's nothing that we could do with this enemy that we were facing. When we look, we were a captive to the law of sin and death. There wasn't anything we could do about it. There wasn't any way for us to fight against it. It would just be about like a little lamb trying to fight against a lion. There wasn't anything that he could do. One of those little antelope on the plains there, as you see them on the TV shows, and the lion get after them, or the cheetah gets after them, and they can't outrun them. They find one and they get him hemmed up, and it can't outrun them, and there's nowhere for it to go, and ain't got no way to fight them off, and all there is left to do is just to die.
Yeah.
And that's where we were. And God said, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away.
Yeah.
and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. God is fighting for your soul this morning. God fought for your soul. In the person of Jesus Christ, he did this. Whenever he died, the Bible said that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And the Bible said that he took part of the same so that he could destroy him that had the power of death. And the Bible said that is the devil, and that's found in Hebrews chapter 2, that part. And so, don't make any mistake about it. There was a fight, and there was a war, and Jesus was the one that went out to fight that fight. And he fought against enemies that we couldn't even comprehend. He fought against the devil. He fought against death. The fulfillment of the law was a giant in our life. There wasn't any way. The more we read that law, if you read it, and the more you read it, and you see into God's holy law, the worse off you get. I'm not saying it makes you worse off. I'm saying there's a revelation that you're that bad off. You just, the more you read God's law, the darker you are, the blacker you are. There wasn't anything wrong with God's law. God's law was good, but when we began to read God's law, we said, hey, the law's good, but I ain't no count. I'm no good. I'm dark. I'm black with sin. And there ain't anything. It's a giant. It's a giant in our life. And we're captive to the law of sin and death. And death, the Bible said that he might deliver them who all their lifetime were subject to bondage by reason of the fear of death. That was a giant in man's life, that fear of death, the fulfillment of the law, the fear of dying, the fear of death. It was something that can anybody do anything about? Even today, with all the medicine that we have and all the science that we have, when death comes, it just comes. There ain't anything anybody can do about it. There's some things that can happen to you that you could be laying in the hospital bed and they couldn't save you. That's just the way it is. I mean, you could be there, and still they couldn't do anything about it. That's because death is a giant. It's a giant, and we hadn't got any way. We've got no power against it, and we didn't. And there was people, and still are, that all their lifetime were in bondage and subject to the fear of death, subject to that fear, and they were in bondage. Well, that's one of the giants that the Lord delivered us from. That's one of those predators that God fought off to deliver us from, was that death and that fear of dying. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now he's already, I believe, won a victory over death because he come up out of the grave. The Bible said it was impossible that he should be holding of it. And when I read that, there's a depth in that verse, Brother Greg, that I haven't dug down to the bottom to. But I like what it's driving at, or what it's saying, and what I can see in it, that death had got a hold of him, but it was impossible that he could be holding. It wasn't even possible for death to hold him. Now, all of us, from what we could have seen, I'm talking about before we knew about Jesus, before people knew, all they could see was their loved one died, and that was it. They were gone. There was a grip there that nobody could pull them from, that grip. There was a predator there that nobody could deliver the prey from. But one day, when Jesus died on the cross, there they was gathered together, and they were upset, and they were weeping. But then on the third day, there was a couple of guys walking on the road to Emmaus, and they was talking about all these things that had happened, and death had took another one. And this time he took the one that we thought was going to be the Redeemer. And they were sad and upset while they was walking back to Emmaus from Jerusalem. But while they was walking, there was a man joined in there with them. And he began to talk to them and ask them, said, why are you walking in sad? And they said, why, haven't you heard what's happened? Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? And they told him, they said, the man that we thought was going to be the one to redeem us, he's died. And Jesus said, he began and began to go back at the prophets and the scriptures and tell them, and said, don't you think that it was right that he should suffer these things, enter into his glory? And he began to talking to them and tell them that this was the plan, this was how that it was supposed to go. I don't know all the words he said, but we find what we find there in the Gospels. But as he was saying all that, we find out later that there was something in their hearts that was just burning while he was talking to them about the word. But they didn't realize who he was. But they told him, I want you to come into the house and eat with us. We're about to eat. and you come on in and eat.
Yeah.
And so he came in with them, and they let him break the bread. And when he broke the bread, their eyes were open, and they realized who he was. And it was Jesus. And he vanished from their sight.
Yes,
and they had just took a long, slow walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. But then they hurried back to Jerusalem and tell everybody what they had seen. Because something that they never had known of before. And this man that death had taken had got out of his grasp. And it was Jesus. And of course, really, I don't know if they were in Bethany when he raised up Lazarus. But even then, it wasn't Lazarus raising up himself. It was Jesus. And we could see then there was somebody different. And he said, if I hadn't have done the works that nobody else had did, they wouldn't have had sin. But he was doing things that nobody had ever done. He was fulfilling the law to a jot and a tittle. Nobody had ever done that. And he was demonstrating power over death, and nobody had ever done that. Now, God had allowed one to be raised in the Old Testament. But Jesus was doing things, and then in this instance where he was raised from the dead, this had never been done. There wasn't anybody around. Nobody walked to Jesus' body and said, come up from the dead. Nobody rolled the stone away and said, Jesus, come forth. But Jesus got up of his own power. The Bible said the Father raised him up. There wasn't no prophet or nobody else around. And so all of a sudden, there was a new day. There was a new day on earth. There was somebody had been revealed to us that can deliver the prey from the mighty. Somebody that can take somebody that's in the jaws of death and snatch them out. And Jesus says, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Amen. Said he that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And amen. So this was a new day, and there was a new champion that had come on the scene, and he was fighting for the souls of men. And that's what Jesus did. He fought for our soul, and he's fighting for your soul this morning. If you're saved, he fought for your soul. And he said the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Like I said, he's already won a victory over death, but he's going to put it down for good on that last day when the Bible said that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And he's going to resurrect everybody. He said, they that have done good unto the resurrection of eternal life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And there's going to be a resurrection. And death is going to be totally destroyed. The devil's going to be totally destroyed. The fulfillment of the law has already been done. Everything that was against us, he nailed it to his cross, and he fought and he won the battle for us. God said, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? And then he answered his own question. He was saying in so many words, yes, they will, because I'm going to be the one doing the fighting.
Amen.
And
amen.
The Lord has fought a giant for you that you couldn't fight for yourself.
Sure.
Everything that was against you, God has fought it. He's taken it out of the way. And really all that's left to be done is for you then to turn to God and put your trust and your faith in him, and say you want to follow him. That's really all that's left to be done. There'll be a time when God speaks to your heart, and when that happens, all the work's been done. It's just a matter then of an individual in their heart just turning and saying, I want to turn away from sin, and I want to turn to Jesus and believing in him, what he did for you, and believing that God raised him from the dead on the third day. And the Bible said in Romans 10, and I think it's verse 13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes.
And I think the reason is because all of that just comes together during that time of prayer. It just seems to work together just right. It doesn't say we had to pray to be saved. He said you got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. He never did say you had to pray, but he did say that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For he said, for how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?
Amen.
So what happens is, the reason why we invite people to an altar of prayer is because it just works together so well. It's just so conducive to that repentance and that faith that we put in the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Because when you call on the Lord, you demonstrate the faith in him. That's what he said. How can you call on him on whom you've not believed? In other words, if you're truly calling on God, and if you're not just making a show of it, if you're truly calling on God, that alone is a demonstration of faith in him, because you wouldn't call on him if you didn't believe. that he could do what he said he could do. If you didn't believe he was who he said he was. So that's why he said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what we want to do is get them to come and verse of a song this morning. And go ahead and make your way. And think about the fact that God has fought off all your enemies. Yours rightfully a lawful captive. The enemy had you in his grasp. And it seemed like time was running out. And it may be that way this morning. It seemed like time just running out. Almost hopeless. Seemed hopeless that you could ever, ever be delivered. But yet here's Jesus. And he says, I can deliver you. He's fought all the enemies. He's killed all the giants. And took out all the predators. And all that's left then is for you to decide, do I want to go with this man that just did all of that for me? Or do I want to reject him? Turn and go back to this predator. Turn and go back to my captors. So that's just the choice. That's the choice this morning. If it was a thing in physical life, and we were dropped in Africa somewhere, and it got about dusky dark, and them lions got on the prowl. Y'all know how they do if you've watched that much. They like to get going at night. They sleep a lot. They sleep during the day and lay around, but at nighttime they get going. And they dropped you out in Africa, dusky dark, and the lion, they got to move and got on the prowl and grabbed a hold of you. And there was a pack of them things. They just ready to fight each other over who gets to eat you. That's how they do with that prey. They'll try to fight each other. Grab them. And the whole time they eat, just gnawing at one another and growling everything. But yet, here comes a big man with a gun. And he goes to popping them things off. And he said, come get in the truck with me and let's go. I'm going to take you somewhere, and you're going to have a bed, and you're going to be safe, and you can get you a nice warm shower, and I'm going to feed you something, and you're never going to have to worry about the lions again.
Yeah.
You'd be in that truck so fast, it wouldn't be a question. Wouldn't be a question. Never would you say, no, go on down the road, I'm going to deal with these lions on my own. Because you couldn't do it. It's too great. It's too much. You'd just be a prey in there. Paws and in their mouths. It'd be over with. It'd be dead in a matter of seconds. And they'd be gnawing on you and fighting over you. You'd come to that man. And that's what the Lord did. He delivered you. He's come out there and he's run all of them off. And now while we stand, you got an opportunity. Come get in the truck with the Lord.
Yeah.
Why don't you come?